Now, Moses said, there's manna, take only what you need for today. And you know what? Some of them were afraid it wasn't going to be there tomorrow. And they said, oh my goodness, just in case God doesn't provide for tomorrow, I better take some extra. Yeah. You see, fear leads to greed. Do you see that? We get greedy. We're afraid of the lack. We're afraid God isn't going to provide. We're afraid God isn't who He said He's going to be. And some of you need to understand that what you are chasing after is full of worms and it stinketh.
Amen.
Right.
Verse 20. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning. It was full of maggots and began to smell. And Moses was angry with them. Do you understand what happened? Is they lost a blessing because they tried to hold on to it for fear of lack. And you know what? There are a lot of Christians who aren't very giving people because they're afraid of lack. And they hold on and hold on and hold on. And what are you going to do for me today? And they forget the absolute promise of God that says, give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken, and running over, will it be poured into your lap? With the same measure you give, it will be given to you. They forget all of that. And I say, oh, no, no, no. If I give that, I won't have it. It won't be mine anymore. And the problem is they're missing a tremendous blessing that God has for them. They have blocked it. They have blocked that blessing because they're holding on to what they should be getting rid of. Oh, it's so simple. It's so true. It is so pure. But we get caught up in our circumstances. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we are not circumstance people.
My Lord.
That's God's problem.
Amen.
I've told you many times, you know, we need to say, God, you have a problem. I'm sorry, this is the issue. You're going to have to take care of it because your word said you would. And I cannot take the time or the energy to be concerned about that.
Amen.
Yes. Now, I want you to go to Psalm 138. I told you we'd be all through the Bible tonight. So, but you got to get this because this is such... Psalm 138:8. It's not on your paper. This is one of those that I came to afterwards. Psalm 138:8. Verse 8. If you have the NIV, it says, the Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands. Now, if you have a King James, here is what it says. And I looked it up in both of them, and the King James actually translates it a little bit better. It says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. If it matters to you, it matters to God.
Amen.
Anything that concerns you, He will perfect. How can you be afraid when you know that God is going to take care of what concerns you? If you don't know God, be afraid. Be very, very, very afraid. But if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior that has given you access to the throne of God, listen, you do not have to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
He will perfect that which concerneth you.
Amen.
Okay, let's go to Matthew 13. I'm running out of time. Matthew 13. Okay. We're going to start with verse 53. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom? Again, there's your wisdom and miraculous powers. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he could not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. You see, when you start concentrating on your surroundings, when you allow that doubt to settle in, when you start filling yourself up with all those things going on around you, your faith starts to diminish. He cannot do miracles because of their lack of faith.
Even Jesus.
Even Jesus. You see, how many miracles are we preventing? Oh, let's not get caught up in what if God can't do this? What if this doesn't happen? What if this doesn't happen? Oh my goodness, look at this. Oh my goodness, look at that. What about this? What are we going to do? Now, I told you this before. I got to tell it again. When I was growing up, we moved to a church with 8 children. It was in Caneville, Pennsylvania. None of you have ever heard of it. Some of you might have heard of Meadville or Oil City. It was a one-horse town outside of those. And my father was the pastor of 2 churches. And combined with 8 children, they paid him $50 a week. And my mother said, are you sure this is what God wants you to do? He said, yes. She was like, oh. As a matter of fact, my mother became so fearful that while they were moving us into the parsonage, she had an asthma attack and was in the hospital. She'll tell you this. She will tell you this. She said, I was lacking in faith and I got so anxious, it put me in the hospital. And so we had been there a while. She got out, obviously, and she resigned herself to the fact that we were going to have 8 children in a 3-bedroom home. The girls got a room, the boys got a room, and my parents got a room. And it was tight quarters. We didn't know it. We were little. We had fun, you know, and made our own fun. But I remember one day, I do remember this, and my mom didn't have any food for dinner. And my father, she said, I don't have anything to feed him. And my father said, oh, we're fine, we're fine. There'll be plenty to eat. And he said, come to the table. And he said, set the table. And she said, I'm not, you know, she'll tell you, she was like, this man is crazy. So reluctantly, she said she set the table. She slammed the plates down loud enough that he could hear her. And was slamming cabinets in the kitchen. And she was just so frustrated that they were there and that this was going on. And sat down. And every night before we ate, we did family devotions. So we were sitting around the table. My father read from the Bible. He did his little talk to us about what the Bible was telling us and all of this. And then he said, okay, we're going to pray for the food. And my mother said that she just wanted to get up. And she said, it's a good thing he was bald, because if he wasn't, I would have pulled every hair out of his head. And started praying, and there was a knock at the door. He was praying and thanking God, and there was a knock at the door. And he went to the front door. There was absolutely no one there, but there were 8 bags of groceries sitting on the front porch. Now, that was a man who refused to fear. He refused to give in. He refused to doubt. He refused to be disobedient to God's call based on fear. He just refused. And taught my mother a very, very significant lesson, and she'll tell you about it if you ever talk to her. But there we were. Oh, yeah. And so we all have that choice. That has always stuck with me all my life. Mm-hmm. All my life. And there have been times when I have been afraid. Mostly, Satan will use your children, you know. And he'll use your children. And that's when you really feel fear coming up the most. And I'm going to tell you the best thing you can do is say, God, this is what you promised. You told me this about my children. And you told me that if I treated them, that I would spend eternity with them. You've told me that if I trained them in the way they would go, they would follow you. You have promised me. It doesn't matter what's going on with your children. You have promises from God about every one of your children that cause you to rise up and be strong in the Lord and not give in to fear. Yeah. Yes. That is God's promise to us. But we have to decide, we're either going to believe God or we're going to believe false evidence appearing as real. We've got that choice. Now I want to talk to you about something. Very interesting. Without turning there, I want to know how many of you have heard the story about Mary and Martha?
Yes.
Everybody's heard that story, right?
Yep.
Okay, and what do you know about that story?
If you don't shut your mouth, the Lord's going to shut it for you.
Keep going. I'm hearing a lot of mumbling. What do you know about Mary and Martha?
Martha kept working away, trying to make dinner and everything and all the provisions, and Mary sat and Jesus and listened to her.
Right. That's what I've always heard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know that way?
That is what I have always heard. And there's even books written about being a Mary in a Martha world. And, you know, oh, and you always said it's given the Church of Jesus Christ a license to be lazy. Mm. And Rhonda said, I've never understood that story because who does the work? If everybody's sitting around, who's doing the work? Somebody's got to fix the meal.
Right.
When you really read it, though, it has nothing to do with working versus sitting. That is not what the problem was. So the next time you're tempted to sit around and do nothing because you think you're at Jesus' feet, get up and do something. That's my, you know, if you all go to church, you know there's two or three people in the church that do everything.
Yep.
And everybody else wants to be Mary. Oh, yeah. I've been in churches where they'll tell me, oh, I'm so glad you're doing this. You know, every church needs a Martha, and I'm so glad you're willing to give up and be a Martha so that we have this time. And, you know, for the longest time, I believed them. They won't pull that on me anymore. Because now we're going to go to Luke 10 and see what it, or Luke 9 and see what it really says. Now we're going to go to Luke chapter 9 and see what it really says. I'm sorry, it's Luke 10. I was right. Luke 10. Luke 10. Luke chapter 10. We're going to start with verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations. Where was her focus?
She was serving.
That had to be made. She came and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell me to help her. Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. That's the problem. Is she was allowing fear and worry. It doesn't say you're worried about Mary sitting there. It said you're worried and upset about many things. You've carried worried and upset into your serving God. That's the problem. You see, it's okay to serve God. It's okay to get up and do things. It's not okay to do it with a bunch of worry and fear in your heart because you're focusing on the wrong thing. If you're going to serve God, focus on God.
Yeah.
You see, it wasn't that she was serving. It wasn't that she was working. It's that she was fearful. She was worried in her heart. And that caused her to take her eyes off of Jesus and put it on her circumstances.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She took her eyes off of Jesus and put them on her circumstances. Now, she's worried and upset about many things. Get rid of that worry and upset, and you know what? You can't wait to serve God. You cannot wait to do wonderful things for the kingdom of God when you are not bogged down and dragged down with worries and cares of this world. You see, the problem wasn't that she was serving. The problem was she was worrying about everything while she was serving. And we've gotten that messed up in the church for years and years and years. And we've almost made serving a sin. And serving is not a sin. Worry and upset about many things is. That was her problem. Okay, we're going to go to Luke chapter 9 now. We're going to go to verse 37. I'm talking up here, huh? The next day when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. A man in the crowd called out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child." A spirit seized him, and he suddenly screams. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It scarcely leaves him and is destroying him. Okay, we've got a child here who is really, really, really troubled and disturbed. Amen? Okay. I begged your disciples to drive it out, but they could not. Jesus says, "Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, how long will I put up with you?" You see, they could not do miracles as long as they had unbelief in their heart. As long as they were not believing what Jesus said, as long as they were not believing that there was power in his name, as long as they were not believing that what he told them they could do when he sent them out, they would actually be able to do, it blocked the miracles. You see, when you get into unbelief, when you get into fear, when you get into doubt, when you get into lack of faith, when you get into all of these things that Satan throws at you, and you buy into his bill of goods, you're blocking miracles. And I know I need miracles. I don't know about you, but if we need miracles, we are going to have to understand that we can't allow unbelief to be piled up in our hearts. You know, and we say we believe, but then when we're talking and when we're discussing things, we're really talking a whole lot of unbelief. I don't know what I'm going to do. This is so horrible. It's never been worse. I'm about to die. This is going to kill me. We say all kinds of things like that. And we're just blocking the miracle. We are blocking the miracle. You know, I had a lady come in the office, and she brought in, this was a couple years ago, we have a lady in our office that can bake and cook. She does beautiful things. And one of the ladies in the office took a bite, and she goes, "Oh, this is to die for." I said, "Oh, no, 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 it's to live for." Don't block your miracle. Oh, it's so easy to get caught up in all that, though, and just put these blocks in the way, and we're sitting there and we're praying over here, but we're blocking it here. And look, if you cannot fully believe what you are praying for, you need to pray, help my unbelief. A man in the Bible did in God his miracle. Say, I want to believe you, and I'm just having trouble here because it's piling up around me. Help my unbelief. More than once I've said, God, if I'm praying the right way, just give me any sign today. I will be looking for you. Just give me any sign that you are hearing me and working on my behalf. And God does.
Amen.
And that helps my unbelief. And Peggy Angel was praying for something a while ago. And she said, God, if you're hearing my prayer, show me some deer. Well, God showed her some deer. Not only that, if you've been to my house, you know I'm not in the woods. God sent a deer right into her yard. Now, do you think God is hearing her prayer?
Yes.
Do you think God's going to do what he said he would do?
Yes.
Yes. Help my unbelief. Do something. Don't be afraid to ask God to do this. Look, he is saying to you, you know what? You don't have to worry. I have got this taken care of. I will perfect that which concerns you. If it matters to you, it matters to God. Amen?
Amen.